Now, that day, that Shabbos, Kinalach, the firstborn Mitzrim went to Paroi's palace. And they made a big demonstration, a big protesting, a big complaining. And they said, the firstborn said, if we don't get Paroi to let the Jews out before this last Makkah, then we're all going to die. We don't want to die. Just like the Yidden said there was going to be blood and froggies and lice and wild animals and everything else, so there's also going to be Makkos Bechoreis. We don't want to die. We've had it already. Enough of all these Makkos. They gathered in front of Paroi's palace and they started to scream, let the Yidden out from Mitzrayim. Let the Yidden out of Mitzrayim before it's too late. Let the Jews go. Let them go. Paroi was taking his nap. All of a sudden he wakes up and he hears noise outside. And he says to his guards, what's that noise that woke me up from my afternoon nap? What is that? And the guards say, Paroi, the firstborn are making a big gathering outside and they're telling you to let the Jews out of Mitzrayim because they're afraid of Makkos Bechoreis. And Paroi says, my own Mitzrim are screaming at me and they're telling me what to do? They tell Paroi, the king, what to do? Paroi tells them what to do, not that they tell me what to do. And Paroi goes out on his porch and he says, be quiet, I'm taking my afternoon nap, you're disturbing me. And they said, Paroi, let the Jews out of Mitzrayim, let the Jews go already, enough Makkos, it's going to be Makkos Bechoreis, we don't want to die. And Paroi says, be quiet already, I'm trying to sleep, don't tell me what to do. And they didn't stop. And Paroi called his general of his army and he said, go and get those people to be quiet, even if you have to fight with them. And the firstborn weren't quiet. And Paroi's armies go out and they start fighting the firstborn. And the firstborn start fighting back. So the firstborn were killing Paroi's soldiers. And Paroi's soldiers were killing the firstborn. And there was a big, big fight that day. Such a big fight, it was like one of the Makkos, so many people got killed. And this was part of the ness of going out of Mitzrayim, Kinalach. We say in the davening, if you say on Shabbos before Baruch Shamar, before Hoaderes V'Amuna, you say, Hoidu L'Hashem Kitoiv, and it says, L'Makke Mitzrayim B'Vecheireyem Ki Le'elam Chazdoi. Hashem made a Makkah in Mitzrayim Bivchayrim, with their own Bechayrois. The Bechayrim made a Makkah in Mitzrayim even before the Yidden went out from Mitzrayim. There was this big fight, and that was one of the big Nisim. And that's why it's called Shabbos HaGadol. You know what HaGadol means? Big. What means a big Shabbos? Because a big Ness happened. And this was the big Ness, that there was a fight between Mitzrim and Mitzrim. Such a big fight, it was like a big Makkah. L'makkah Mitzrayim nifecheireyem ki le'elam chazdei, part of the chesed of Hashem. Finally, Kinalach, Paroi didn't listen. And now it came, Erev Pesach, the Yidden. Even though Paroi himself was a Bechori, he had so much chutzpah, he didn't listen. Like you take the letters of Paroi's name, Pei, Reish, Ayin, Hei. And you mix them up, it makes the word Ha'oref, the back of the neck. If a person is nice and you're speaking to them, they look at you with your face, with their face. If a person is nice and you're speaking to a person, so they look at you with their face. That's the nice way. What if you're speaking to somebody and they turn the back of their neck to you and they're looking somewhere else? Is that nice or it's chutzpah?
Chutzpah.
Okay. This kinalach is ha'oiref, the back of the neck. This stands for chutzpah. Paroi, his whole thing was chutzpah. Chutzpah means a stark, like going against for no reason. Even worse, you know what the emes is and you still go against it. It's chutzpah. Like you tell a kid, when you go down the stairs, don't slide down, and that's a rule. It's for your own good. Now, I don't want to see anybody slide down, and then 5 minutes later, you're going down the stairs to lunch, and you see the kid sliding down while you're watching it. And he's looking at you from the corner of his eye. He knows you said the rule. And he knows you're watching him. And he's peeking at you, or he's watching you. And he slides down while you're watching him. Isn't this chutzpah? Yes, it's chutzpah. Okay, I don't want to say who it is. Finally, kinalach. It came out of Pesach. And the Yidden are busy with their Korban Pesach. And they're busy with their matzah that Hashem said to bake. And they're busy with their maror that Hashem said to get ready. And they're going to make the first Seder even before they go out of Mitzrayim. They're going to have a Seder in Mitzrayim. And that night they're commanded to eat the Korban Pesach and to have matzah and maror and be dressed ready to go. They're going out of Mitzrayim. And then it came, kinalach, close to 12 o'clock, and the Mitzrayim are getting very nervous. And the astrologers and the magicians and the officers are looking at their clocks. And some of them already say 12 o'clock, and they start to laugh. Look, see, 12 o'clock, nothing happened. But of course, the clocks were wrong. And then, kinalach, when it was exactly Chatzos HaLaila, 12 o'clock at night, Hashem sent his destroying Malach into Mitzrayim, and he's going to go and punish Mitzrayim. The Mashchis. And every house in Mitzrayim had a dead person that all of a sudden died. I'm going to tell that. I'm going to tell that now. Now, what happened was, the Eibishter said to the Yidden, if every house is going to have a dead person in Machas Becheres, how will it be that it's only the Goyim will have Machas Becheres and not the Yidden? Now the special mitzvah was, the Yidden had to take the blood from the Korban Pesach, and also they made the Bris Milah before they went out of Mitzrayim, which also was blood. They mixed the blood together, and they had to make a sign on the doorposts of the house. They had to smear some blood in the place that we put a mezuzah. And this was the sign of a Jewish home. And if the Eibishter would see that on the doorpost is blood, he knows to pass over, Pesach, pass over. That's how the Yontif got its name. He will pass over the Jewish house and only go to the house of a Mitzri to make Makas Becheres. But if there would be no blood, if there would be no blood on a house, then there would be no passing over, and that house would also suffer from Makas Becheres.
Also, if they wouldn't have blood on the door, they also get
even a Yid, if he didn't have blood on the door, would also have to have Makas Becheres. Now the question, of course, is, and this is a very important thing to understand, does Hashem know everything? Does Hashem see everything?
Yeah.
Does Hashem know exactly who lives in the house?
Yeah.
Does Hashem know exactly if it's a Jewish house or not?
Yeah.
So then why does Hashem need to see the blood on the doorpost if Hashem anyway knows who's in the house or not? Do you remember what happened in the Choshech that 4 out of 5 Jews died. Do you know why they died? Because they didn't want to do anything for Hashem. They didn't want to do anything to God and Mitzrayim. They were just happy to stay right where they were without doing anything. Now, Kenelach, Hashem helps, but He does not help for free. We have to do at least something. Now listen to me carefully. Hashem said, do this small thing for me to put the blood on the doorposts. And at least you're doing something for me, then I know that I'm going to skip that house of those people that will do at least a little bit of for Hashem to go out to Mitzrayim. In other words, Hashem knew who was in there. He wasn't looking to see, is it a Jewish house or not? Hashem was looking. Who is doing a little bit for Hashem that they should be zeicha, they should have the schus to go out of Mitzrayim? Because, Kenelach, the people did not deserve to go out of Mitzrayim. They were not perfect tzaddikim, most of them. To go out of Mitzrayim was going to be a big, big chesed from Hashem to take them out of Mitzrayim. So they had to do at least something. What did they do? They put the blood of the Korban Pesach on the doorpost. It means here's a Yid who did something for Hashem. Especially, what did he do? He took the Shepsele, the Getchke of Mitzrayim, and he shechted it. He says, I'm taking the whole way of life of Mitzrayim, the whole Getchke way of life. And I'm showing Hashem that I'm shechting it, I'm getting rid of it. I want to go away from it. I want to go with Hashem into the Midbar to get the Torah, to get the Yiddish way of life and go away from the Mitzvah way of life. And even though I'm not perfect yet, and even though I haven't gotten the Torah yet, but at least I'm making the first step to go with Hashem, I'm doing something. He needed this little schus in order to go out of Mitzrayim. Now the same thing is nowadays, right before Mashiach takes us away out of the Golus. There's many people that are living the life of Mitzrayim. They're not from. They're not keeping all of Torah Mitzvahs. They're not ready to go with Moshe Rabbeinu and Mashiach to Eretz Israel, to the Beis Hamikdash. Now, what if they did nothing at all? Are they ready to go out of the Golus? No, they're not ready to go out of the Golus. Even though this last Golus, everybody will go out. There'll be no such thing as like in the Choshech, you're not getting out of Golus. But they're not ready to go out of Golus. What if they do at least one little mitzvah for Hashem? They did at least one thing for Hashem. Are they ready to go out of Golus?
Yes.
At least they did something, right?
Yes.
What if they put on tefillin one time? Did they at least do something for Hashem to go out of Golus?
Yes.
What if they put up one mezuzah on their house? Did they at least do something?
Yes.
What if they learned at least a little bit of Torah?
Yes.
What if they, a little girl or a lady, lit a Shabbos candle at least one time? She did at least something for Hashem.
Yes.
Can you say they did nothing, or now they did something, and now they're showing they want to go out of Golus?
Yeah,
okay, Kenelach, that's the whole idea behind the Miftzoyim. That even though this Yid is not from, and even though he's not changed his whole life, if they do one little thing, so it's different than doing nothing. And they're showing Hashem, at least I'm doing something for you. They're already now, Kenelach, in a way, ready to go out of Golus, like the Yidden now, showed Hashem that we're ready to go out of the Golus. And of course, mitzvah, geiretes mitzvah. They did this one thing, they'll do another thing. They do two things, they'll do four things. It starts like a whole thing going. Now, Kenelach, when the firstborn started to die, there was a big crying out in Mitzrayim. It was a terrible, terrible makor. Everywhere dead people. And of course, in Pari's palace, the firstborn also died, and Pari was afraid he'll die because he was a firstborn. Hashem had rahmanas on him to keep him alive. It wasn't such a rahmanas, because it was worse to be alive to see it than just to die and not see it. The Pari saw that because of his chutzpah, his whole country is suffering, and so many people are dying. And Paroi and all of his officers and all of their servants, they ran out of the palace in their pajamas to tell Moshe and Aaron, go out of Mitzrayim with the Jews already, go, we've had it. And Paroi is running down the street, where does Moshe live? Where does Moshe live? Paroi in his pajamas running down the street. And Moshe was eating his Korban Pesach and his matzah and his maror. And Pari screams and cries, go, go, and take your old people and the young people and the boys and the girls and take your animals and take your cows and sheep and I'll also give you from mine. Moshe said, see, I told you you're going to give me from your animals. Not only we're going to take our own animals, we're going to take yours. I'll give you. But please give me a bracha. I shouldn't die. I'm afraid. I'm also a firstborn. And Moshe, I don't know if he gave a bracha or not, but Pari was begging him for a bracha. And of course we see that Pari didn't die. Later on we find that Pari lived quite a long time. And finally in the end, it seems that Pari did tshuva. You know where he lived? In Nineveh. Remember Nineveh? Remember it says that Yonah, it's a whole story of Yonah. Finally he went to Nineveh and he told the people they have to do tshuva. And who was the first person to put on the potato bags, the sackcloth, and put ashes on his head? The king. The king went out in the streets and said, people, listen to Hashem and do tshuva. Listen to Hashem and do tshuva. So it says that this was Paroi, Malach Mitzrayim, and he was afraid of Hashem. Now, the whole night, Kinalach, the Yidden were gathering together in Ramses, ready to go out of Mitzrayim. They're also going to the houses of the Goyim to borrow the silver and gold and the jewels, and the Goyim were so afraid of them, they gave them all that they had, and if they had a little bit of chutzpah and said they didn't have, the Yid said, I know exactly where it is. It's in the second cupboard or the third drawer, and it's in the dining room, you know. It's under the papers over there, because they had seen it during the Choshech. And they took out with them so much silver and gold, which really belonged to them. And 3,000 Mitzrim also went along with the Yidden to see what's going to happen. They were so interested to see what's going to happen. And they were called the Erev Rav, the Great Mixture. 3,000 Goyim went out, and they wanted to become Yidden. Or they wanted to go with the Yidden. How much they really wanted to become Yidden, I don't know, because as we see, they made trouble in the Midbar. Who were the ones that started the golden calf, the golden getchke? It wasn't the Yidden, it was the Erev Rav. And other troubles the Yidden had from the Erev Rav, from fetching and complaining. Now it's not to say that an emes ager, a ger tzedek, is chas sholom not like a regular Yid. He's mamish, they're gerim that are tzedikim, ger tzedek, that are makabel Torah mitzvahs. But these people didn't go with such a tmimistic 100% feeling they want to keep Torah mitzvahs. They're just, you know, let's see what's going to happen over here. It's interesting. Let's go. Let's see what's going to be. Let's have an adventure. Is that a reason to become a Yid?
No.
No. Now, even Yidden from very far away, they came together that night. They had Kfitzas HaDerech. They had a special, like, bracha in traveling. And in the morning, the Yidden all had gathered together in Pisaim and Ramses, men, women, and children. It says there were 600,000 men between 20 and 60. Now, if you would count the women and the kids that are below 20, or the old people over 60, so there were more than 3 million Jews that were all going out of Mitzrayim. And they were not running, they were walking out. They were not afraid that they had to run away from Paroi. Now, it also says they went out bechipazoin, very quickly. Now, wait a minute. If they're walking out and they're not afraid, Paro's not chasing after them, the Mitzrayim telling them to go, so what do they have to go out bechipazoin, like running out? Now, you want to hear this? This is not an easy thing, but I'll explain to you. Listen very closely. The Yidden were thinking, should we go? Should we stay? Should we go? Should we stay? We're not really sure what to do. If we go, we're going into a midbar, to a desert. Out there are snakes and scorpions and biting spiders, and it's dangerous and it's hot, and there's no stores, there's no shopping, there's no restaurants, there's no parks. We're not going to have our beautiful homes, our yards. Should we go? We're going into an unknown. Or should we stay home? We're comfortable. We have a nice neighborhood. Now, Kinalach, because they were going back and forth, they weren't really sure if they can really just go out into an unknown. If they would have waited one more second, they would have stayed home. So when they ran out, it wasn't running out with their feet. They ran out from their own Yetzirah, who was trying to talk them into staying home. Because they kept thinking, maybe we should stay home. But you know what they did? They jumped over the Yetzirah, and they said, no, we're going with Moshe Rabbeinu, that's it. We're going with Moshe Rabbeinu. We don't know what's going to happen. Doesn't matter. We're going with Moshe Rabbeinu. Hashem said we should get the Torah. How, what, exactly what's going to be? What's the food? How are we going to be out there? Is it going to be too hot? They just did not let it bother them. And if they would have waited one more second and started going more cheshbonis in their head, they would have said, no, we'll stay home. So they had to run away fast from their own Yetzirah that almost decided to stay home. So there was a Pesach on the outside and a Pesach on the inside. Outside, there was a jumping over. Hashem was jumping over the houses of the Yidden going to the Mitzrayim. And inside, the Yidden's Nefesh Elokis, the Helike Nefesh, had to jump over the Yetzirah in order to decide to go out. Now, if you remember, Kinalach, before Yosef passed away, he asked that he should not be buried in Mitzrayim, just like Yaakov was not buried in Mitzrayim, so Yosef didn't want to be buried in Mitzrayim either. He wanted to go out of Mitzrayim, and Kinalach, there was a promise not to have Yosef stay in Mitzrayim, but that he would be taken out of Mitzrayim and be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Now, Paroi did not let. Not only that, Paroi made a trick. And he thought that this would make the Jews stay in Mitzrayim no matter what. Because they had promised to take Yosef out of Mitzrayim. So Paroi said, they have to keep their promise. If they don't keep their promise, they're not going to leave Mitzrayim. So Paroi said, I'm going to make sure they never leave Mitzrayim. So after Yosef passed away, Paroi had Yosef, his body, put in a lead box. You know what lead is? A very heavy metal. Heavy metal. And the lead box, with Yosef's body in it, he put it in the river, in the Nilus, and they sank it to the bottom of the river. And Paroi laughed and he said, look, to get that heavy metal box, so heavy, out from the river, nobody will ever be able to do it. Nobody will ever be able to do such a thing. It will be impossible to do such a thing. And so Yosef will forever be in the bottom of the river, and the Jews will never go out of Mitzrayim. Akinolach, Paroi thought that nobody knew where Yosef was in the river also. In case they find him, who knows, maybe they'll figure out some way to get him out. But if they never find him in the first place, and the river is so big, how will they find one metal box in the bottom of the river? But there was one person that did know the secret of where Yosef was. And that was Serach Bas Asher. Remember Serach?
Yeah.
Well, Serach was the one who played the music for Yaakov, remember, when the Shvatim came back from Mitzrayim, and she was very old. In fact, Serach was one of the people that never died. She went alive into Gan Eden, and she was still alive. And Moshe Rabbeinu said to the Yidden, before we go out to Mitzrayim, we have to take Yosef out with us to bury him in Eretz Yisrael. But where is he? Where is he in the river? And Kenalach, Serach Bas Asher came to Moshe Rabbeinu and said, I know where he is. I can take you to the river because I saw where he was. Serach must have been looking when Paroi did his trick that he thought nobody was looking at, because Serach knew the secret where he was. And she took Moshe Rabbeinu down to the river, and she says, Yosef is in a lead box in the bottom of the river here. Now Moshe Rabbeinu had a metal plate, and Kenalach, on the plate was written the words Ali Shoyer. Ali Shoyer means come up Shoyer. Now Shoyer has different meanings. And Yosef is called a Shoyer in certain parts of the Torah. When Moshe Rabbeinu dropped this metal plate, a small metal plate, into the water with those words, it sank to the bottom of the river. And it went on to the lead box, and the lead box came up from the bottom of the river. Which is, of course, Kenalach, a ness, because heavy metal like lead only sinks down way, way down heavy. And here it came up, and it came up to the top, like floated, like a piece of wood. And they were able to take out Yosef's bones from Mitzrayim, or his body. As we know, tzaddikim, the body stays in the kever, just like they're alive. And we learn out from the psukim, not only they took out Yosef, but all of the Shvatim were taken out with the Yidden when they went out of Mitzrayim. And they're all buried in Eretz Yisrael. And you can go today to Eretz Yisrael, different places, and you see the kvarim of different Shvatim, different places. Well, no, they're buried in the ground, but you know, you're allowed to go over there to the Halakha place to say Tehillim or Minor Lashon, and to say things over there. No. They're buried in the ground. Now, Yosef was buried, and he's still there in a place called Shechem. Yosef is buried in Shechem, in Eretz Yisrael. When I was in Eretz Yisrael, I saw a different kfarim of the Shvatim. All of a sudden, you're driving, and they say, hey, Binyamin is buried here, and Dan is buried over here, and here is Naphtali and Asher. They're buried different places in Eretz Yisrael. You can go there. Now, the Yidden Kenalach, as we know, they took with them all of their animals, and they took with the Kenalach, and everybody they took with them, but what are they going to eat the whole time in the Midbar? Now also the Torah says by the whole Pesach story that they took the dough, but they didn't have time to bake it into bread. And when it came time to bake it, they did not bake bread, they baked matzah. And of course, Kenalach, we eat matzah on Pesach. Now as we know, from the matzah on Pesach, it says in Chassidus, there were two different kinds of matzah. One was the matzah they ate before midnight, before Makas Becheiros. Remember I told you there was a Seder that the Yidden were having with the Korban Pesach, and they had matzah. The Eibishter said to eat matzah. Then there was the matzah after midnight that they had. And it says they took out the dough on their shoulders, and it was not enough time for it to become chametz, so it was matzah. Now, one way to explain it, the regular way that most people know, is that they didn't have time to wait there by the oven, that it should go into a puffy bread, so they had to bake it into matzah, and matzah is flat, it doesn't rise, it has to bake quicker, so it was matzah. But there's a deeper way to explain it, like it says in Chassidus Kinalach, that because of Hashem's koyach, it could not become matzah. It was impossible to become matzah. I'm sorry. I made a mistake. Because of Hashem's koyach, it could not become chometz. It would not rise to become chometz because of the koyach of Hashem. Now, as we know, everything that we have, we understand in a regular way and also in an inside way for our